session of the, and this is the work session carryover from yesterday of House Bill 2005, Department of Administrative Session for General Government Subcommittee. Dallas, we've received additional information and there's been additional work up.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The first item was, you remember there was going to reclassify some positions in the Human Resource Services Division. We have received from them their revised numbers. The reclassification result in savings of $56,271 other funds. This is after the wage freezes and everything. You have the detail of the positions here. You have a new memorandum for me that shows we've incorporated that in, that is a recommendation. If you go to my memo, I would recommend that be an additional reduction in other funds limitation to the Human Resource Services Division.
That's line 8 for the reclasses on Human Resource Services Division.
Yes.
A total of $56,271.
Mm-hmm. In addition, as a reduction of other, additional other funds reduction, excuse me, an additional reduction in other funds limitation over and above the $395,067 that we had recommended before.
Okay. Questions, Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair. I'm just going to say for the record, I'm pretty disappointed in this $56,000 over a biennial cost. If you go to page 24 and 25 of the, these are the PICS reports, but of this, you know, when I look at the, that isn't even the equivalent to one person's salary for a year. When we look at the exact, this is a division where they had 13 executive managers plus the 7 union negotiators in the Human Services Division. Is this, this is an annualized or biennial cost?
This is biennial.
So, you know, in my opinion, it ain't a way to run a railroad. But.
Okay. Further questions of Dallas relative to the Human Resource Division reclass position?
Mr. Chairman.
Director Weeks.
For the record, I'm Gary Weeks, Director of the Department. I'm trying to understand what the railroad problem here. We had 12 managers. We put together a plan to reduce those to 5 managers. We never intended to reduce 7 positions. What you see are the savings between the difference of a management position and a person who's in a non-supervisory position. I don't know what you expected, so I'd like to apologize, but I don't know what it's for.
No need for an apology.
Well, then you're disappointed about something, but you're not able to articulate that to me?
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to get in cross debate with the director on this. If the impact for moving somebody from a management level executive manager E who makes $7,206 a year or $6,229 a year
per month
or per month, excuse me, and you divide the $13,784 over the difference between them, if you're moving from a non-manager manager to a line position, that's a hell of a lot of money that you're making. So that's just my only point. Maybe we have a classification problem.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
One other thing that occurs to me is moving some of these folks out of managerial positions, does that then make them available for overtime? And I'm trying to figure out what the real savings
Mr.
is.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, none of them move into the entire HRSD is a non-union shop. So they are all in what's called management service, but some are in management positions, supervisory, and some are non-supervisory. But the reason we keep them all out of the union is because they deal with very personal and confidential information around the bargaining system. So are they eligible for overtime if they're in management service? They're not eligible for overtime.
Okay.
Do they take comp time, Director Weeks?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, they are eligible for comp time.
Is that right?
I guess I misspoke. They're not eligible for comp time.
Okay.
If you're a management supervisor, you get neither of
right.
those.
Okay. Okay, Senator Winter.
I guess I just have to follow up. What was that lawsuit about that we got sued for?
The Young case.
The Young case. And they were managers.
I can answer that. Please, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. That was for a period of time because of the statute, a problem in the statute.
Okay, that's fine. I just knew that we got sued for an awful lot.
Those have been changed, Senator.
And the statutes have been changed,
yes.
So that loophole was no longer exists. Thank you.
So these are all positions to and from. There's no overtime and no comp time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patridge?
I just am trying to reconcile this, Mr. Chair, on the savings. You know, I'm looking at pages 24 and 25. I'm looking at an example of a program executive manager E, which make $6,000 to $7,200. Then I look at an executive analyst 4, which makes $5,216 a month, which is a savings of, you know, just in rough math, that's a savings of $1,000 a month. But then if I back the numbers that the department gave me in and divide it by 24 months, it's less than $500 a month. So, and it gives me the E, it gives me the executive analyst 4. I just don't understand. I haven't understood the numbers from this department for quite a while, and I'm just trying to understand where we're at.
So the difference is 52, 16, 50 that you're looking on an analyst 4,
yeah.
And then looking at a manager.
Even the low manager, 6229. If you take 6229 minus 5216, that's still $1,013 a month times 24 is $24,000. I just don't. Maybe I'm missing something.
Mr. Chairman, we have this by every position with all the math done, and we'd be happy to make copies of this for the members. And,
you know. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would submit that what's in the picks is probably out of date because of the wage freezes and other actions that have taken place. Although we use it, we've adjusted down. For wage increases.
Well, but the savings is less than half on what they've given us versus what's in the sheet. We haven't. I mean, maybe it's because we had a reduction on 38 and below. I don't know.
That is it. Now let me make sure I understand though that if the picks is wrong because of the roll ups and the cost of living adjustments and so forth, then it would be assumed that the executive analyst number 4. And the executive manager number E would probably be scaled back accordingly. Would that be a fair assumption?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, in cases where we're making a change, a different class change, from moving from a principal, whatever, to exec analyst, something. If those two ranges both have the same salary that the employee is receiving right now, Cora Parker, Department of Administrative Services, for the record. So, say a person is making $5,000 a month, and that $5,000 a month happens to be in both of those ranges. When they move down to the lower range, they will stay at that $5,000 a month. However, they won't have the opportunity to move up to the higher range that the other scale would have allowed them to move up to. So you might not realize an immediate budget savings, but when you go into 05-07 or for future biennia, there's no place for them to go. They're at the top, for example.
Okay, Senator Devlin?
Likewise, in that same example, even if the two ranges, this is my understanding of it, even if the two ranges do have a distance between them, and it's a downgrade from one to the other, they will go to the top of this lower scale. Is that correct? That would be the normal.
Typically, there are, Chair Butler, Senator Devlin. every case is different depending on whether employees are union employees, if they are management service, and even if they are union employees, depending on what the specific bargaining unit has asked for. But typically you will not be, if an employee remains within that position, typically they will not lose salary. So they will stay where they are. Now, when that employee leaves and goes to another position and someone else is hired in, they will bump down to that lower rate.
So Corey, your response is that basically that by moving according to the information, and by moving a manager E supervisory to an executive analyst number 4, even though the demonstrated savings per month is $574 on one of those managers, that may not be immediately recognized.
Yeah, if the agency has identified that $574, that is the immediate savings.
Okay.
I think what Representative Patridge was saying is that he looks at those numbers and expects a higher savings. And I'm saying depending on how the ranges interact with each other, depending on what that employee status is and whether or not there's that, I mean, there may not, if they're crossing ranges, there may be actually no immediate savings related
to that. But Cora, when I'm looking at the PICS report, the PICS system report, I've got, going back to the executive analyst number 4 at 521650, and the executive manager E at 6229, those are the average rates.
Mr. Chair, Cindy Becker, Department of Administrative Services. Part of the issue is you're talking about a couple of different things. There are people in positions, and so what we need to do, because these are not vacant positions and there are people in them, we go from where those people are and they go across. If they were vacant positions, it would be a different calculation.
But in a restructuring, doesn't the position in effect become vacant if you restructure the position?
Mr. Chair, no, it does not become vacant.
Okay.
It only becomes vacant if you abolish the position and then reestablish it. What we would be doing in these situations is a reclassification, which basically is someone in a position, they and the position get reclassified. You would have to actually abolish the position, change it into something else for the position to become vacant.
Okay. So the anticipated restructuring does not then change the responsibilities to, I mean, basically the same person that filled the job before as an executive manager will still fill the job afterwards as a analyst for, perhaps?
That's correct,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
And so even though the average range between those is over $1,000, the actual adjustment will be something under that, under $600.
Correct,
one.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, if what they say is true and what the governor has said in his order, so we have all these management positions. The wages have been frozen. So all we're doing is now reclassing them from one position to another. So if we're only changing the dollars from one position to another, there should be zero savings. If by reorganizing with an incumbent person, we're switching them over, and we have a wage freeze right now with what's going on, there should be zero savings, unless I'm wrong. I mean, if that's what we're doing, based upon what was just said, Mr. Chair, they're just moving into a different category that has a different salary range, and we have wage freezes this time. It makes no difference. We don't net any savings from a reorg unless we go through, reclassify, reopen the positions. These people aren't subject to union agreements. So 56 is not even a real figure. It's zero. It should be zero.
And Cindy, do you want to respond to how the 56 then is arrived at position by
Mr.
position?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, excuse me. Each of these positions was analyzed given the change in going from supervisory managers to non-supervisory managers. And we knew there was going to be little, if any, savings. And if you look at the number of positions, and $56,000, for all intents and purposes, there is hardly any savings. We knew that going in because these individuals are still in management service. It's different if they were going into a classified non-management.
Follow up, Representative Patrice.
I just want to know who sets the policy when you reorganize a department. Because if this is how you reorganize a department,
I'm trying to understand. I understand union contracts and reorganizing something, but if this is who sets the policy on statewide on reorganizations within management groups and reclasses?
The policy, Mr. Chairman and Representative Patridge, is established within the Min Rule for all agencies. It just describes how you reclassify what's required, if you abolish and reconstitute what's required, and so on like that. In this case, we inherited an agency that had 12 managers in a HRSD system. You, I think, correctly identified that as a problem. I had already asked for a reorganization in that group. We took seven of those managers and said, you are not supervising managers. No, you're not. You don't supervise anybody. And change their classification to non-supervisory positions. It has some minimal impact, not a lot.
Also, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I think part of this is it's a little bit out of context for where we're going. And I think it's something that Director Weeks mentioned earlier, is we are looking at the entire department. And this is going to be part of a larger process. So I think the out of context is you specifically asked about these positions. And so we wanted to respond to you, but we have not taken these actions yet. As Director Weeks said, he's going to be looking at the whole department. So this seems a little strange because it is out of context. We were trying to be responsive to where we're going to go, but it doesn't talk about the whole
thing.
Thank
you, Cindy. Senator Winters is recognized.
Yes. You know, this particular, and I, you know, thank the good representative for raising it, but it's an issue that I raised at eBoard. The legislative branch decided that they were going to give reclassifications and those kind of issues to the executive branch. And as a result of that, I think you're going to find more of these particular issues. And with the department saying that they want to go in and look at all of these, I think is a good thing. Because this body, over time, decided that they didn't want to be bothered with, quote, the minutia or having to deal with reclassifications, because in the past they did. An agency could not do reclassifications without coming to either the e-board or the legislature. And that was the legislative branch to control cost and movement inside the agency. And so we abdicated that responsibility to the executive branch. And what I'm hearing is, and I understand what's going on, because if you got a person at one level, even though you change the classification, they still, from a salary level, stay at the same place. You don't take away because you reclassed. And that's a part of the administrative rule. If we want that change, then I think this body has a responsibility to begin talking about how we're going to deal with this reclass issue.
Thank you,
Senator. Mr. Chair,
I just had to put that on record because
I just like to ask them to provide me with where the administrative rule is and the statutes that say they can't come in and eliminate positions and reclass them when you have an incumbent person.
But
I want to see where it's at in administrative rule. We don't have to do it now.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patrick, that's not what I said. I did not say we didn't have the authority to abolish and reclass. We do have that authority. You ask where that authority is contained. It's contained in administrative rules and procedures of HRSD, which apply to all agencies in state government.
I asked who set the policy.
And I said it's part of administrative rules and processes that are described for all agencies in state government, and that includes abolishments, reconstitutions, so on like that. The executive branch, as Senator Winters has described, has the authority to do that now.
Now let's bring back into focus the Human Resource Services Division reorganization in accordance with previous discussions with the budget management folks and the department. The legislative fiscal has previously recommended the elimination of two vacant positions, which is 1.92 FTE, as well as some of the other modifications for personal services permanent financing actions. And then there has been other funds expenditure limitations and non-limited authority. There are some modifications there. Let's see. And to increase the position authority for four positions to transfer the STEPS training program from IRMD to the Human Resource Services Division as part of the restructuring. Okay. That's for the training program. Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am as interested in how the the position reclassifications are going to work in the director's office as I am here. I had been initially satisfied with your answer. I mean, the fact that Ms. Becker is currently serving in three positions. I am curious to see the detail and what the savings are in the director's office as well as here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, that I did that purposely. I mean, I could have filled all three of those jobs, and we would have started with everybody filled. I chose not to fill them because I didn't believe I needed all those positions. And in the context of redoing the whole department, I'm trying to keep as many positions flexible as I can. I believe I can bring back a smaller number of FTE for you to DAS. I just have to have an opportunity to do that looking across the department. So my intent is not to fill all three of those positions. Otherwise, I'd have done it and saved myself
Representative Johnson,
a lot of time.
I guess what I have to draw on, Director Weeks, is the first budget that I saw as a freshman last session was DAS.
Yes.
And the request was, give us, and I forget the number of positions, 8 or 10 or 14 positions, and life will be wonderful, and we won't be back again. And now there's a change of director, and I understand that, and I'm sympathetic to it, but this is the first budget that we're doing work session on, and we're adding 16 additional positions and doing some reclasses. And I guess my expectation of you, and I'm delighted to say that you are fulfilling it, is that you wouldn't have filled these three positions, that you'd be coming back to the legislature and saying, I've offered up the positions. The positions are gone. When you say that you want to maintain maximum flexibility, that says to me that some of these very well-remunerated high agency principal execs, FGJs, that you're hanging on to those, and they're not going away to allow maximum flexibility. My expectation, particularly given the charge the governor gave you, is a chief operating officer that's going to operate an agency that is pretty lean and mean. And I frankly share Representative Patridge's desire to see the evidence of where positions have been reclassed and down, where they're gone, and the exchange that you guys have had about these human resources folks has just brought into clearer focus for me the office of the director. I just to follow up, I keep maintaining that part of your charge at DAS is to lead by example, and if you're going to be the evidence of good agency behavior, offering up these executive managers at very high levels seems to me to be a reasonable expectation.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, that's why I haven't filled them. I mean, I'd like to just not do this piecemeal here. I'd like to be able to look across my whole department and say, look, in each of these divisions, there's a number of places where I don't think we need the structure that we have. I've inherited an organization that I think is top-heavy. I mean, I believe that. That's why I didn't fill those positions when I could have. And I want to get rid of those positions and some other positions. I would just like to have a full plan for what DAS looks like rather than try to do this, you know, a few bites at a time and be able to say to you, yeah, I've looked across the entire agency, redistributed responsibilities, abolished some positions. Here's the result of that full. And if, you know, if the committee, the subcommittee would prefer to see that as a revision to Ways and Means, I'm happy to do that or a subsequent report.
Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
That's just what I was thinking. How long is it going to take to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, you know, I'd like to have a couple more months. I'd like to be able to come to you maybe in October or so with a complete revision of DAS. We're actually looking through all the work that we're doing right now. We have some people from outside of government who are helping us do a review of that at this very moment. So given that this has been like 3.5 months where I've been back here, I'd like to have until maybe the 1st of October to be able to put a plan together and come to the 1st and 2nd Emergency Board and show you how we've reorganized the department.
Would you consider a budget?
Absolutely, and let's take that into consideration. Representative Patrick?
Sure, just for the record, I want to say I guess I'm concerned with, I remain concerned with the human services area of DAS.
These are the people who do the statewide classifications. These are the people who they go through, as well as BAM. If this is as aggressive as we can get with this particular division of DAS or Department of DAS, I'm concerned about how we set the statewide policy and how we go if this is as aggressive as we can get with these budget cuts. And this is the policy. And I'm going to discount what was said earlier about administrative rule. You know, I think that the governor and the DAS director have the ability to change things, set the policy, do what needs to get done. And, you know, frankly, I'd like to take the director up on his offer on redoing DAS. I'd like to see us reserve some money, pick a target, and reserve it, and give him some of the money back. If the plan is to do a reorg, keep some of the money back. Ask for the reorg. Wait till the January e-board if it can be done by October. And give a piece of the money back. But, you know, I'm not convinced it gets done unless we're the gatekeepers, Mr. Chair. So, you know, if this is as aggressive as we can get, this paper that we got, I'm concerned about the fate of other state agencies and reclasses and reorgs and crunching these things down to make efficiencies happen. So I just wanted to put that on the record, and I'm willing to go whatever direction the chair wants to go.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Director Weeks, this reorg light, if you will, then, do you feel like that this is, does this set the tenor for the balance of the state and these kinds of issues relative to human resources then?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree completely with the committee's assertion that we ought to be an example. I've said that myself. I said that in the testimony that we first gave to you. I said to you my intent is to look across the department and to make this a smaller department. You know, if you would like to give me a target of, you know, say we want you to shoot for 10 positions or 15 positions or, you know, some amount of money, that's fine. I am bound to bring you a report in to either the first or the second emergency board that occurs at the end of this session. And in that report, we'll identify what positions are abolished, what positions are changed, and so on like that, and, you know, ask for the emergency board's, I'm not sure whether it's approval or what, but, you know, that, and if you feel like in order to make me do that, you need to take some positions or some money, that's fine. I'm going to do it whether you take the position or not. I've said it from the beginning.
Senator Winters, did you have a comment?
Yes, and I would also, because I think this is a very, very serious issue, and it's an issue not only within DAS, because I've been concerned about the reclassification issue since I've been back in this building. And somehow this body has to have the ability to begin to review. And we can budget note and we can ask the department, but that doesn't get us at the other bigger picture of all the other agencies that have done all these reclassifications. And I'd like to see this body to begin to look a little broader than DAS. But if the first start is just to look at DAS, I think that's one step in a bigger picture. And maybe the direction to DAS that in the interim that they begin to really look at all the reclass issues. It's a huge issue. And it's one that like I said, there's not been oversight by this body at all on reclassifications. And it's just grown like topsy-turvy inside of government. So if there's some way we can incorporate that we either have an interim look at reclassification statewide, I certainly would like to go there.
Thank you, Representative Senator Winters. We've talked about the budget note. We've talked about the possibility of scheduling and as well as potential position authority. And the two items that are left open are the Information Management Resource Division, or IRMD, Information Resource and Management Division, sorry.
Pay your quarter.
I, I tried to say it right. I just couldn't get all the words where the acronyms go. And the Human Resource Services Division. Those are the two. Those are the two that are still pending. Dallas, can you maybe make a recommendation, because we do have a recommendation for the added positions in DAS of the Information Resource Management Division, 16 positions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, following along the lines of the discussion about reorganizing government and looking at consolidating and savings, what I would recommend the, as part of this budget note, too, or an expansion of it, not approving the 16 positions, I'll withdraw that recommendation, with instructions to the department to look for those savings or those position authority within or without your agency. We're tasking you with the responsibility of being the chief operating officer of the state, and this would show legislative support in your finding the positions, if you will, for the infrastructure, the information technology infrastructure, as well as, I think, set the tone for other actions that you seem to be taking, and we are, the committee is supportive of them. That would be my change in recommendation with the Information Resource Management Division, not recommending approval of that 16 positions, but providing instruction to the department through the budget note.
If we were to reserve that to the emergency board, would that still would it still be within the rate that the IRMD would be charging?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we can't reserve other funds in the E fund.
Okay,
right. We could unschedule some funds pending receipt of the report at the October order. If that's the committee's desire, possibly unschedule that.
Mr. Chairman, you could unschedule the amount of money that goes with the 16 positions and say to the department, if you need those positions, you find them within the agency,
okay,
or external to the agency. I'm a little bit concerned about finding them external to the agency. I mean, because I've been down this road once before. You know, if you approve a budget for, let's see, X agency, and I go in and strip out a position, then I know where that agency is going to go to the legislature and say, well, you already approved this budget.
And I guess the concern that I have is that as long as they were unscheduled, then the rate would still stay the same for the use of the General Government Data Center. Representative Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I think we... whatever the chair is, I just think that they should present a financing plan to the e-board. I mean, we've belabored the IRMD issue, belabored the consolidation, looking at efficiencies in IRMD. This is the first show of making the agency actually come back with a financing plan to look at how we gain some efficiencies. And I'd at least like them, if they're going to, however the chair wants to do it, I'd like them, if they're going to look outside the agency, to come back with a financing plan and how you want to reserve it.
So the budget note would be return with a financing plan.
Mr. Chairman, and a financing plan means a plan for how we're going to finance the 16 positions we're bringing back. Well, we'd have, I mean, that would be required anyway. You wouldn't give us expenditure authority without a plan for financing those positions.
And certainly those funds would be unscheduled until such time as that plan
is
accepted.
That's right. What we would expect.
Okay. The revised Information Resource Management Division recommendation from Legislative Fiscal would be then to withdraw those 16 positions, and then a budget note would be returned in the October e-board. Would that be
October e-board?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just want to clarify what exactly you're asking us to do. I think what Dallas has said is that in the 16 positions that we have identified that we need, he would like us to look not only within our own division, but also look to other agencies that we believe we may be able to take those positions from.
That have information resource folks within their agencies,
okay,
that would have expertise in other areas.
I just want to make it clear, and Gary started on this, I just want to make it clear that you'll be passing, you and the other subcommittees will be passing those agencies' budgets, approving those positions within those departments. It'll be very difficult for us to just reach in without legislative support and take those positions. I just want to you know, let it be on the record that when we come back to you in October, we may not have been able to accomplish what you've just directed us to do. And I also want
people be said and cement at that point.
I also wanted to make it clear that some of the savings that we had started to identify in your rebalance here, that some of the toll savings that we've put on the table and some of the other actions that we've alluded to coming through down the road, both later in 0305 and also in 0507 that are related to the network restructure, those savings are at risk if we don't have the positions and the ability to actually do the work with the network to accomplish those savings. So I just want to put that on the record so that you have that information when you're passing out.
Okay. Let's see. Question, I thought I saw at least one hand waving wildly, perhaps not. Are there questions about what Cora has indicated? Because that puts a greater responsibility on us at a later time. Representative Johnson?
Yeah, I do have questions, Mr. Chair, because I think we're kind of a standoff here. What I hear is a request, and I apologize for having to step out of the room for a second, but a request for some additional display and additional legislative authority. You just putting on the record that were we to pursue that course, that we put additional savings at risk. And I'm trying to figure out a way that we're not like this. Because you have just set up, Cora, whether you know it or not, a prescription for non-performance. And then we're back at the e-board, and your answer is, when we say, what the hell happened, your answer is, we told you. And so I think we're at a position now where we're not serving the best interests of, we're not providing good policy. We're at this point.
Okay, Representative Patridge?
Well, Mr. Chair, respectfully, I think that they do have the ability to do that. They can, DAS has the ability to provide services to other agencies, whether they go in and tell those other agencies, we're doing network consolidation, we're going to save the state money, and your department's going to benefit, so you're going to move this position. That's what the DAS director has the ability to go in, work with those other agencies, make those things happen, come in, get the other funds limitation, and do those things. And frankly, if the department fails in this mission, then that will confirm my belief that I don't think that they have the ability to manage the consolidated networking, enterprise network, and things like that. If they can't manage this, and I don't believe we're setting them up for failure, I think that they have the ability and opportunity to do this. And I believe this is one of those times when the manager tells the employees, you can do it, go out and do it. I don't want to hear any more about it. I mean, that's how I feel about this thing right now.
Let me tell you, here's how I would proceed based on what I think I'm hearing. You're going to unschedule an amount of money equal to the 16 positions and the 16 positions. Mm-hmm. My first initiative is to try to reorganize DAS. And so in that process, we will have positions that we're not going to fill and we're going to abolish. I don't know if there'll be 16 or more, but if there are 16 positions that way and I can use the DAS internal structure to fill those 16, that would be the first thing I would do. Right? And the second,
and you have the capacity to do that.
And I have the capacity to do that. The second is to begin to look out across the rest of government to see if there are positions in information processing. This is a second stream of activity that maybe we can take advantage of, in other words, that are not needed by an agency. In which case, I would bring to the emergency board before I grab those positions, because I disagree respectfully with Representative Patridge that I could grab positions and FTE and expenditure out of an agency and move it to DAS without e-board authority. And so I would look across government to see if that's possible, bring back to the emergency board a plan that would say, here are the positions, the expenditure level, and the FTE that we think are able to be moved out of other agencies. And that would be how I would approach this. Now, if you're not comfortable with that, I would need to know.
Dallas, is that your understanding of the current proposal that we have before us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, that's precisely the authority we're trying to give DAS as part of a bill, but DAS has resistance as part of that, but we'll continue to talk about that. But
that's within the IRMD.
No, that's to reach out across state agencies for IT and be able to consolidate things.
The information technology
to be able to manage resources, to be able to put SWAT teams that can go in and update agency stuff so you're not worried about
that. That's a policy bill.
Stuff.
Where is that?
And that's a policy bill. That's down here in Ways and Means, and we'll have an opportunity to look at that relating to EQUAD. But, Mr. Chair, I don't want to make it that it's just exclusive that they look at DAS first. Part of the whole point in having IRMD and standards and those kinds of things is to be able to look at across state agencies, to be able to look at, use your human resources division, use your other people to look at and see if we're delivering the best technology. And I would hope that their goal wouldn't be to just look at DAS first, and if they can fund it internally, they won't go out and look. I want them to go out and look and see what's available out in other agencies. So I just say that for the record.
Director, Mr. Chairman, I've said I'll do both of those things. Let me try this again. The most important, I've got to get my own agency shaped up first. I've got to figure out what positions I need and where I need them and which ones are unneeded. And I have to do that first. And then I've said I will also do exactly as Representative Patridge has suggested, look across government to try to identify where there are opportunities for us to pull positions, to pull resources, and to come back to you with that recommendation. But, you know, there's a sequence to this. I need to make my own department as effective as possible right now.
I think we're all basically agreeing as to where we're at that particular point. There may be some semantics as to how do we get it accomplished, but I believe that within the Department of Administrative Service, the director has the executive authority to do exactly what you're planning to do, and I appreciate the fact that you would do that first in-house and then look to the balance of state agencies to find out where the best resources may be within those agencies to help you accomplish all of the information resource management for the state. So the revised recommendation with regard to information resource management from LFO would be to go ahead and withdraw those position authority for the 16 positions and to unschedule the funds related to those 16 positions. Okay, that would be the modified IRMD recommendation. Is there any objection to the Information Resource Management Division recommendation by Legislative Fiscal Office?
The modified version.
The modified version, as modified and as discussed here. Discussed. I beg your pardon. Discussed. Thank you, Senator, for that clarification. Hearing and seeing no objection, we will go ahead and accept then the modified recommendation with regard to IRMD. With regard to Human Resources Division, the recommendation is to reduce another $56,271 for position reclass of other funds reduction. Let's just take that right to that particular point. Are there any objections to the modified recommendation with regard to Human Resource Service Division for the Department of Administrative Services? Hearing and seeing no objections, so ordered. And finally, then, Dallas, you have a recommendation with regard to other fund for agency assessment.
Right. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as a result of the other actions taken, assessments across the state will be reduced, and included in that is an assessment to the Department of Administrative Services of $160,918. I can't specify where it would be reduced, but just in the budget bill, I would recommend an additional reduction of $160,918 by other funds limitation.
And Dallas, is that in your Department of Administrative Services summary?
It's in the summary.
It's in the summary sheet.
The two additional savings we've talked about are within the sheet.
Yes.
And then the fact that we are unscheduling the resources for the 16 additional positions, the funds are still within the $459,726,873. The funds are still there, but those would be unscheduled.
Yes, no, okay. Sure, that's correct.
Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to support the chair in this. I still am amazed that we haven't seen the rates. We haven't seen a comparison from the rates over the years. So, and and how much services are being provisioned. But I'll vote with this.
Okay, thank you
very much. I assume that LFOs will do that.
Thank you, Representative Patridge. Now, you've heard the recommendation with regard to the other funds reduction from the Department of Administrative Services for agency assessments of $160,918. Are there any objections to that legislative fiscal recommendation? That probably falls under the office of the director, but it's a general agency-wide reduction. Hearing and seeing no objections, we'll so order that. And finally, there's a budget note. Dallas, would you give us the kind of a write-up of that budget note?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'll summarize it. How's that? A budget note to the effect that the department will report back. Well, first of all, that we were going to unschedule. The department will be requested to unschedule an amount. We'll work on the amount. It's a sizable amount for the 16 positions that we're not funding. And report back to the emergency board on the emergency board in October or so on a review of its agency's structure and how it intends to its plan for reorganizing, restructuring itself, and funding these positions. Both and giving it an authority of the committee's intent that the department look both within and without its agency for these additional resources for Information Resource Management Division, coupled with that in part of this report would include the fiscal impact on the important Information Resource Management Division and financing of the financing plan for the division.
Okay. And that would be for the October 2003 e-board.
We'll work it.
Okay. With that recommendation, you've heard the recommendation for the final budget note for from legislative fiscal regarding the Department of Administrative Services. Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. Colleagues, that concludes the Department of Administrative Services budget. We've gone through the four pages of recommendations. I'd like to express my thanks for all the good work that everyone has done on both sides for budget management and for the leadership in the Department of Administrative Services. I have confidence that you folks will take the ball and run with it. I'm sorry that we didn't get there in the last session with the modifications. I had an abundance of confidence at that particular time as well. Also express gratitude for the work that Dallas has done in the legislative fiscal office and for each of the participation that each of you have contributed. Representative Johnson, I express gratitude for you for recognizing that we were setting ourselves up for failure, and we won't do that. We need to set ourselves up for success and take this batch of lemons and make lemonade. For Representative Patrick, for your comments and questions. Now, Dallas, we'll go ahead and we're wrapping up then House Bill 5002 as it has been amended and with the modifications. Are there any objections then to passing House Bill 5002 for the Department of Administrative Services budget? Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, for the record, we passed this out, but we're going to have a rebalance bill. And I want to, for the record, I will vote for this to put it out, but I want to know more about these rates. And I put together a little spreadsheet piece, and I'd like the agency to populate it. It describes the unit, describes what we're buying with whatever rate, what the rate was from 97, 99, 99, 01, 01, 03, and 03, 05, the amount of units purchased of whatever it was then, and a dollar amount, so we can see what's actually going on with the department. So I'm going to hand this over to the department so then we're clear, and it's clear on the record. I want the rate, the units purchased, and the dollar amount that DAS is to receive.
Okay. I'll ask that the Department of Administrative Services work directly with Representative Patridge and his office to complete this. I also do have some concerns and questions relative to the cash flow. The cash flow analysis indicates that during the 99-01 that there was an excess of cash funds of $3.4 million. That $800,000 of those funds were then used up in the 01 or will have been used up in the 0103. If you started with zero, there's still something in excess of $3 million on hand, and I don't know that you started with zero. The indication was that before the 99-01 session that there were rather substantial amounts of cash on hand within that division, and that in effect for the 99-01 there was $3.4 million added to that, but only $800,000 will have been used. So I am concerned about what the cash balances are. I would still like to have some better feeling for that, but that will come in the form of another bill if there is excess cash there, because the co-chairs are looking at all the cash balances as a separate item. So with that, we will now go ahead then and pass House Bill 5002 as modified and amended here to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation with the reservations that have been expressed. Are there any objections to that? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Okay. I'll carry it to full in House and Senate.
Senate, who would like to carry that?
Oh, I'll take it.
Okay. Senator Winters to the... And Representative Johnson? Representative Johnson to the full and to the House. And with that, we will go ahead then and close the work session and the General Government Ways and Means. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Work on this for you, but I just want to respond to your earlier question about this.